This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
In just a few days, the college baseball season will officially be here. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com and of TheYak.com, and you're listening to another edition of the Extra Bases podcast. This is episode 60, and it's game week. On Friday, Texas opens its 2020 season on the road in a three-game series against rival Rice. And this episode is going to be the pitching preview episode. For those OrangeBloods.com subscribers that also listen to the Yak, thank you. We appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm glad you've tuned in. Some of this might be repetitive, but it's probably going to be more in verbal form as opposed to the written preview that I did at OrangeBloods.com already. If you're not an OrangeBloods.com member, I implore you to go sign up and take advantage of all the awesome content there if you are a Texas Longhorn fan. But college baseball season is here. Again, Texas opens up at Rice. As I'm doing this podcast currently, it is just a miserable day outside. You might be able to hear the rain in the background as I'm recording in my office with the windows open. But yeah, it's just one of those days where I don't think my dogs move from the couch. And quite frankly, I can't blame them. I wish that I could do the same. Definitely a sweatpants day. You know, those are, for those of you that work at home or if you just lounge on the weekend, there's nothing like a good sweatpants day, and that's what today is. So, now that I've totally derailed the podcast, no. We'll open up here with some pitcher discussion, and I kind of broke my written preview into a few categories. The ace, the breakout candidate, the wild card, the stopper, the new pitch, and the future, and we ended with the big question. So, the ace is pretty explanatory. It's Bryce Elder. That's the ace of this pitching staff. I think that he should have been the preseason Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. Look, I know Cade Cavalli has immense ceiling and could pitch his way into the back end in the first round of the 2020 Major League Baseball draft, but his numbers and his production, they just weren't really that great last season. Whereas Elder ended the year with a 2.93 ERA, 1.24 whip. He kind of pitches to contact too much at times. Struck out 86 and 83 innings and only had 33 walks. Where can he improve? So the couple times I've seen Elder this preseason, he's basically just been playing catch at 90 to 92 miles per hour. What I mean by playing catch, just a very low effort delivery, clearly just trying to work on some things as he gears up for the season, but he's doing it at 90 to 92 miles per hour, which suggests that there's more velocity in the tank. Now, as a guy that's going to sink the ball a lot, he's probably not going to ever be a, you know, 96, 97, 98 mile an hour guy, at least not in college. But I do think that he has the ability to better hold his velocity and starts this season and to reach back and kind of get to that 93, 94. Maybe we'll get a 95 from Bryce Elder this season. But I think that he's added more muscle. I think that he's added more good weight. I think he's going to be a guy that can pitch even deeper into games and hold his stuff. But really, and I go back to something that new pitching coach Sean Allen discussed a long, long time ago about Bryce Elder, is he was such a sinker-slider guy last year because it worked. You know, sinker was his fastball of choice, and the slider, you know, it used to be called a cutter in the past. Now they're just referring to it as a slider, was his best secondary pitch by far. But interestingly, his curveball rated really well statistically. They just never really used that pitch that much. I think where you're going to see the growth from Elder is that he's going to be more of a four-pitch guy as opposed to just a sinker-slider guy. You'll probably see the changeup more against lefties. You'll probably see the curveball mixed in more as an early count type of pitch. Maybe even a late count offering as well. I think the pitch has real potential. I think he spins it pretty well. It's got good big shape. It's good mixed velocity wise. You know, it's kind of in the upper 70s range as opposed to his, you know, his hard sinker. The changeup and the slider are kind of similar in the, you know, low to mid 80s kinds of area. So it's a nice, you know, velocity change type of pitch. I think that's where we can see the growth from Elder, is that he becomes more of a four pitch guy as opposed to just a sinker slider guy. I think that he's going to have an excellent season. I think that he's capable of being an All-American. I think that he's capable of being the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. I think he's a guy that scouts are going to have a lot of eyeballs on this season. because he does profile eventually as a potential strike-throwing guy. You know, the 33 walks was a little high in terms of walks per nine innings. I'd like to see him improve there, but I think he's going to miss more bats this year, and I think he's going to pitch to contact less. I think that that kind of got him in trouble at times. It's just like, all right, I'm gonna throw the sinker in there, and they're going to hit it, and let's see if it finds a glove. But I do see some growth for Bryce Elder, who's the unquestioned ace of this Texas pitching staff. And I think, you know, I think I've mentioned this before on an Extra Bases podcast, but you'll notice, too, the leadership of Bryce Elder. There's a lot of people that have been talking about him taking a more vocal presence with this, especially with the pitching staff, but with the entire roster as well. And he's kind of seen a little bit of everything since his time at Texas. He saw guys like Nolan Kingham and Chase Sugart, who, when they stepped between the lines, were exactly what you wanted. But maybe when they're off the field, not always the greatest example. And then he saw some things that kind of went wrong with last year's team. He saw maybe a guy in Blair Henley that didn't really step up enough in the leadership regard and was just kind of a little bit too inconsistent to do that. So he's kind of seen a little bit of everything in his Texas career. And, you know, you talk to people around the program, and it seems like his voice is really being heard. And as a follow-by-example guy, he's a great model for young pitchers, but I think it's a good thing for Texas that he's starting to speak up more as well. My pick for the breakout candidate shouldn't surprise anybody that's listened to these podcasts. It's Ty Madden, and I was so excited to hear that Madden basically is ditching the sinker and going back to being a four-seam fastball guy, and he's going to throw a hard slider as well. He is a power pitcher, and I think that as he was just trying to find his way in college baseball last year, you know, there are times where he was just trying to throw strikes, so they tried to sink it late in counts and try to get some cheap outs that way and something like that. He's a power pitcher. He is a let the big dog eat kind of guy on the mound. That's what he was in high school. That's why the Royals tried to throw a bunch of money at him late to get him to sign out of high school. I think that's where, Ty Madden, not Bryce Elder, is at his best. This is a guy that, at the end of the season, sit behind home plate, he popped a 97-mile-an-hour reading on my radar gun. I mean, he has big-time velocity. I did a podcast one time about him flirting with throwing 100 miles per hour by the time he leaves Texas, and I still absolutely believe that. So I think that he's going to be a guy that works in the 92 to 95-mile-an-hour range. I think that he has more in the tank when he wants to get back there. But he's also still a young pitcher, still really growing into his body, understanding his mechanics, understanding consistency, you know, how to throw strikes, how to command, and how to pitch at this level. But I was really excited to hear that he's going to be a four-seam fastball guy and a hard slider guy. The slider, from what I've heard, has been in the mid-80s to the upper 80s, as high as 88 miles per hour, and can be a true dominant pitch. Now, he's shown enough of a feel of other pitches in the past, like a changeup or a curveball, to have a third type of pitch, which I think the most beneficial thing would be a changeup for him, is especially against left-handers. But if the fastball and the slider are what I think they can be, he can be a big-time pitcher in the Big 12 and even nationally this season, because he could rack up some really, really nice strikeout totals, especially if he's able to keep that walk rate in a decent area. And you look at Major League Baseball, you can see guys that are just primarily fastball slider guys. I mean, Patrick Corbin's made a career doing it. You know, Jack Flaherty for the St. Louis Cardinals, that's kind of what he's labeled as a fastball slider guy. So if those two pitchers are really hard and really right, you can get a lot of outs, especially in the collegiate level. So Ty Madden to me is a no-brainer breakout candidate. I think he's going to be the Saturday starter for Texas. I don't think he's going to relinquish that role, and I think he can have a really good season. I do think we're going to see some times where the strike throwing comes and goes. He is a bigger guy with some moving parts on the mound that's still trying to and understand how to control that body every single pitch consistently. But I think that he is going to be definitely a sub-4 ERA guy, maybe closer to 3 than 4 on the ERA scale, and I think he's going to rack up the strikeouts. And I think the whip, you know, he had a 1.47 whip last year. I think that'll dramatically improve because he's not pitching the contact anymore. He's attacking guys with his stuff, which I think should be music to Texas fans' ears. The wild card for me this season for the Texas pitching staff is sophomore right-hander Coy Cobb. This is a guy that began last season as a true freshman as a Sunday starter. And although he wasn't great or it wasn't ever really dominant, he was able to get some results early on. And just things just really fell apart as the season progressed. And, you know, in Big 12 play, he finished conference play with a 6.48 ERA and a 1.98 whip in just 8.1 innings with more walks than strikeouts. He had 6 walks, 4 strikeouts. And his lack of innings kind of speaks to kind of just what was going on. He just wasn't right. He certainly wasn't the guy that Texas thought he was going to be after, you know, being that Sunday starter early on in the season. So I'm still a little skeptical about what Cobb can do. You know, he's a guy, to me, he was so heavily reliant on his changeup, so much so that I think he was over-pronating sometimes in his finish and his hand and his arm action just to try to generate that movement on the changeup. Then I think it really negatively impacted his breaking ball. Never really a huge velocity guy, although he had some life. He could have some deception with his delivery. So I think the jury is still very much out on Coy Cobb, but I think he's going to be your Sunday starter, at least temporarily. You know, Colby Kubicek had an ankle issue that was making him day-to-day as of a few days ago. I'm not sure what his status is right now. I'm sure we'll get an update from David Pierce later this week before they head down to Rice to play. And then Pete Hansen, who was one of the shining stars of the fall offseason, a true freshman lefty that we've talked about on the Extra Bases podcast that was really, really impressive. He had mono. Certainly at one point he had mono early in the preseason when Texas began practice, so that kind of set him back some as well. So it's really allowed Cobb to kind of emerge as that Sunday starter. And from what I've heard, he's throwing the ball better, and most importantly, he's attacking more on the mound. And if he can attack and just throw his stuff with conviction and throw strikes and just kind of, you know, worry more about just competing instead of results and trying to be perfect and you know, pitching the contact and sinking this here and get a swing and miss on a changeup there, just compete in the zone, I think he could be a nice rotation piece for Texas. But he's going to have to hold off some of these guys when they get healthy. I mean, Kubicek had a fantastic summer in the Cape Cod League, and then Hansen was a guy I think was heading towards being a weekend starter before getting mono. So he's going to have to hold those guys off, but I think it's very encouraging for Texas that you've heard some people discuss that he's kind of starting to turn a corner in terms of just attacking when he's on the mound and just challenging people and using his stuff and really competing instead of just focusing on some different things that just really led his freshman season to be off the rails in Big 12 play after what was a pretty promising start to begin his freshman season. As for the stopper, or maybe it should be stoppers, you know, that's something when David Pierce was hired, he referred to his pitching staff as not really having a closer. They had stoppers because they wanted to have guys that they didn't just hold for the ninth inning. That they brought those guys in when they thought there was an opportunity that, hey, we need an out or a big strikeout or something to really win this game. This could be a winning moment of the game, whether it's the sixth inning or the seventh inning or the eighth inning, just not holding those guys for the ninth inning. So those are basically your back-end bullpen guys that are kind of the best of the bunch, you know, the guys you can kind of depend on to come in and get you a big out or close out a game for you. And I think you have to start with Cam Fields. You know, interestingly, David Pierce said that the Fields isn't focusing on hitting in addition to pitching anymore. He's just focusing just out in pitching. And that's the first time he's done that at Texas. So whenever that happens, I always wonder if we start to see a guy's talent and skill level show a little bit more because they're not cross training and putting, you know, thinking about or using effort in other areas. They're just focused on one singular thing. And I think you can kind of see already that there's some things a little bit different in Fields's arm action and his delivery in a positive way. I think that that's something that Sean Allen has probably worked on with Cam Fields, is getting him into a more repeatable situation with his arm action. To kind of tap into that strike throwing and that athleticism more. But he's a guy in the fall that was up to 95, and the slider was big time. I mean, there's times where his stuff is just completely dominant, and he's got enough of a feel for a changeup. I have to look at my notes. It might almost be like a split change almost that kind of has that action like that. But he's got enough feel for that where that could be a third pitch. But I think that he's the guy in the back end of the bullpen, along with Mason Bryant, who is throwing strikes a little bit more, but is still so much of an adventure. You know, I watch him on the mound sometimes, and I'm like, okay, that looked one way, that looked a different way, that was really hard, that was not quite as hard, there's a lot more spin on this, there's not as much spin on that. You just don't really know what you're going to get from him pitch to pitch, but there is the possibility that one of those pitches is like 96, 97 miles per hour, and another pitch is just like a really, really good breaking ball. Or it just can kind of be some flat stuff that's just all over the place. But I do think that he's throwing enough strikes to where he's going to be one of those back-end stoppers as well. But I think it's got to be Fields. I think Texas would want him to be that guy. It's a guy that, you know, he has some leadership intangibles about him. He's been in the program for a while. He's been in some big moments. I think ideally that's a guy they want to hand the ball to in the back of games and say, hey, you know, we need you to get some outs here to get us a victory. And I think that he has the stuff, the ability to do it. And I think that this could be a good year for him because he just is focusing on pitching. You could kind of see his production start to take off a little bit. But beyond Fields and Bryant, I think that Texas has a lot of options in the bullpen, but I'm not sure yet if they have any of those true back-end stopper types of guys. And maybe this next guy, you know, I had another section labeled on my pitching preview at orangebloods.com, the new pitch for Cole Quintanilla. Maybe Quintanilla could profile there. You know, I think back to his season last year when he was so sensational against LSU. He was unhittable in shutting down LSU in that series sweep for Texas. And then he just kind of ran out of gas by the end of the season. And I think people forget that sometimes these guys coming back from Tommy John surgery in their first season, especially at the collegiate level, it's different. You know, the tank could run empty by midway through Big 12 play or something like that. So we'll see if he's able to kind of hold that consistency a little bit more. But I do really like what Texas has done with him. It's changed the curveball to a slider. And it's tighter. It's a better pitch. It's a mid-80s offering. I think it's capable of generating some swings and misses. It can be a wipeout type pitch late in the count. I think that could really help Cole Quintanilla because there are times where, you know, he'd create some angle with that breaking ball and could be good, but it just wasn't consistent enough. I think the slider has a chance to really help him, especially if he can keep that velocity in the 92 to 93 kind of range, which would be enough to miss some bats and just throw strikes with both those pitchers. I think that he's probably going to profile more in the bullpen than he would being a guy that could be stretched out as a starter. Just because if you look at the starting options that Texas does have, especially when Kubitschek and Hansen get back and with Cobb, you know, kind of sounding like he could potentially turn the corner this season. They do have some starting depth there, and they could benefit from a guy like Quintanilla that does have some experience throwing in late game situations as being somebody that can help the, you know, Cam Fields and Mason Bryant's of the bullpen get some more outs in those late game situations. Moving on to the next section, I've got that one labeled the future. I've talked about Hansen already. I think he has a really, really bright future at Texas. You know, there was a time I was watching him in one of the scrimmages in the fall against one of the junior colleges. I can't remember if it was San Jacinto or McLennan. A lot of scouting presence there, as there usually is in those situations. And there was a national cross-checker from an American League team that just kind of, you know, he was talking to me and we looked out to Hansen. He's like, you know, Texas needs more of those guys. And I agree 100%. I mean, he was just different. He was one of those guys like, how did he slip through the cracks and get to campus? You know, that's the kind of guy that I'm sure scouts would be drooling over. But that's also the kind of guy that is going to college a little bit more because there is a real opportunity for those guys to pitch their way into much, much more of a better financial situation as a major league draft pick as opposed to signing out of high school. But he has a really, really bright future. I think he's going to be a weekend starter perhaps sooner than later. Really good athlete on the mound, can throw strikes with multiple pitches, showed the ability to hold his velocity pretty well, especially for a freshman. So we covered him extensively already. Another freshman lefty that I think Texas really hit the jackpot on, and this is a guy that I don't think was talked about a bunch in the fall. Kind of caught my eye a little bit then, but definitely caught my attention at the recent alumni game, and that's Sam Walbridge. Tall, kind of lanky lefty. He's got a lot of room to fill out. He's got a loose arm, you know, loose arm action. I think he does have some athleticism. He was up to 93 miles per hour, and it had some life in it in the alumni game. And he was snapping off a big curveball at around 73 miles per hour that had some really tight spin. And I think it's got the potential to be a true plus pitch by the time that he leaves college. It's got the makings of those flashes right now. I think it's more consistency away from being a really big-time weapon at the collegiate level. I mean, that's one of those guys you watch him throw, and you watch the body move, and he's already got a pretty good understanding of how to make that big, lanky body work, and then the arm action, and then the stuff. I mean, the sky's the limit for a guy like that. You know, and David Pierce said that they've actually simplified him right now to being primarily a fastball, curveball guy because he profiles in the bullpen right now. But he did come to Texas throwing four pitches. But this is a way to help him, hey, just compete in the zone with these and let's master that. And then we'll move on to maybe the third pitch or we'll move on to kind of incorporating those four pitches again. But just focus on these two things. And frankly, those two things are good enough to get out to this level right now if he competes in the zone with that kind of body, that kind of arm action, that kind of stuff. He does have the ability to really help Texas in the bullpen. I think the sky's the limit for him. I think the sky's the limit for Pete Hansen as well. Two freshman lefties that I really think Texas did a tremendous job getting those guys on campus, and it appears that they could hit the jackpot with both those guys. Jared Southard, not really an unknown name because he's a guy that the Angels selected, I believe, in the 20th round of last year's Major League Baseball draft. He had some scouting attention heavily throughout his senior season. I was a big arm strength guy. He's got a lot of potential. And I think that he's probably going to profile more as a bullpen guy right now, kind of similar to Walbridge and where they're probably just trying to get him to focus on, hey, fastball, curveball, compete in the zone. Let's figure these two things out, and then we'll go from there, maybe try to stretch you out, maybe get more into that arsenal. But right now, just be a guy that competes in the zone with a good fastball and a good curveball. And those two pitches do have a chance to be good pitches. He was up to 92 miles an hour in the alumni game. The curveball is hard. It's kind of more of that 12-6 shape. It was around 81, 82 miles per hour. It did generate some swings and misses. There are some times where it will flatten out on him, so it's not as consistent right now. But there are also some times you see it and you're like, ooh, okay, this could be a weapon in the future. And, you know, he's a guy that in the fall during scrimmages, you know, scouts would just watch this guy throw and they're like, oof, how did this guy end up on campus? You know, and they kind of look back at the reports and they see the strike throwing was the biggest issue in high school. And that's why a guy like that normally ends up in college. It's like, okay, well, you know, a team will take a chance on you, but you also have an opportunity to go make a lot more money if you can go to college and prove that you can throw strikes. But you look at the body, just the lower half strength, the arm action, the stuff, what he could be in the future, and even what he could be now, I think the future is really bright for those three freshmen, and I think that they're going to have a real opportunity to help Texas this season significantly. I mean, these are the types of guys that you see pop up at places like, you know, like Florida or Texas Tech or LSU or, I don't know, maybe some like UCLA, where you see this freshman and you're just like, whoa. You know, how do these guys end up on campus? You know, and that's Texas needs to get more of those guys, and they are getting more of those guys. You know, Hansen, Walbridge, and Southard are three of those types of players. And Andre Duplantier as well, a guy that he had left hamate injury, which I talked about on the previous Extra Bases podcast. But pitching-wise, I liked him as much or more than any freshman arm I saw in the fall. I mean, he was up to 94 miles per hour one outing in the fall. With a true three pitch mix and the ability to throw those three pitches for a strike, and then you look at the guy physically, he looks fantastic. I think they nicknamed him the 17 wheeler because he's number 17, just because of what he was doing in like off season strength and conditioning workouts and things like that. But that's a guy that's got a really, really bright future on the mound. He's also got a bright future with the bat, I think. So we'll have to see how Texas handles that when he makes his return from that hamate injury. But he can pitch, I think, right now. David Pierce said that he was focusing on pitching while that left wrist hand injury does recover. So they've got some arms. They have some arms in that freshman class that have a chance to really make an impact now and in the future for Texas. And we'll wrap up this edition of the Extra Bases podcast with the what I labeled the big question for this pitching staff for the Longhorns is, you know, what happens beyond Cam Fields and Mason Bryant, assuming those guys have the seasons that Texas thinks they could have? You know, I think, you know, Dawson Merriman is probably going to factor into that equation as kind of that unique look, that submarine-style look from the right side with that slow, sweeping slider and then that hard fastball mix in there as well. I think that he can be an instant impact guy. But even let's say that goes right with those three, you know, how does the bullpen shake out? You know, is it going to be a guy like Walbridge jumping up and snagging an opportunity? And can he become consistent? Or Southard, you know, as those freshman arms in the bullpen? And what happens with Duplantier when he comes back? Is he going to be a guy they stretch out, maybe as a Tuesday starter? Maybe he even down the road factors into the Sunday mix? Or is he going to be a guy that you put in the bullpen that can kind of give you some big-time velocities and stuff in some late-game situations? You know, there's guys like Will Swope, another freshman that's throwing some. Owen Meany. Tristan Stevens, a guy I liked a lot last year. Really big-time slider. You know, an upper 80s slider. Didn't throw strikes enough, but it was another guy that was coming off of Tommy John surgery in his past. He's another year further removed from that. Can he be a guy that you can depend on to hand the ball to in the seventh inning in a jam? Say, hey, we need you to minimize this damage. Get us to some other guys in the bullpen and help us win this game. So I think that's my big question for the pitching staff, because I feel really good about what they're doing with the starting rotation. I'm a big believer, as I was last year, in Bryce Elder. I'm a big believer in Ty Madden. I think they have enough quality options with that third spot that they're going to get production there. But it's just what happens in the bullpen, you know. And I think that's an area that people are excited about what it could become. But it's also, you know, an if, you know, like, you know, or what it could be. It's not what it's going to be. It's what it could be. With some of those arms, but they don't lack options. And, you know, with these freshmen, though, you just don't quite know until they get on the mound and do it what that environment and that situation and that competition is going to do to them. Some guys elevate their games and, you know, you think that they were, you know, a senior that had pitched in the big moments before. Some guys just are crushed by it. They just can't handle it. You know, they just can't find their way, and they eventually move down the pecking order because they just can't throw strikes or can't compete enough. So we'll see. I don't think Texas lacks options, but I just don't know how that bullpen's going to shape out, although it does have a lot of potential. It's just, you know, I've covered so many Texas teams where you had a guy in the back end of the bullpen. It's just like, well, they're not hitting this dude, whether it was Austin Wood, Chance Ruffin, Corey Knebel. Of course, you can't think about a Texas reliever without thinking of Houston Street and what he did. And of course, he's a volunteer assistant coach with the program now. So Texas doesn't have one of those guys, but it does have a group of guys that could become, you know, part of or make up a really, really good bullpen. But it's just an if right now. You know, last year early on in the season, it's like, man, Texas bullpen is going to be awesome. You know, and then they got into Big 12 play, and it's just like, what in the hell happened to the Texas bullpen? So sometimes you just don't quite know. So that'll be something to follow as we get to the season. With that, let's wrap up episode 60 of the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of orangeboards.com. Thank you so much for listening. Get to theyak.com, check out all of our great podcast content. Get to orangeboards.com, check out our written content about the Longhorns. Now that we're gearing up for college baseball season, I think you guys should expect more of these Extra Bases podcasts. I'm actually going to be doing some fantasy baseball podcasts as well, so I'm really excited about that. If you're a fantasy baseball fan or avid player or whatever, feel free to drop me a line anytime on Twitter, at DMcComasOB, shoot me an email, Dustin@orangebloods.com, or lead feedback however you can. I always love talking about fantasy baseball in addition to covering the Longhorns and Major League Baseball in college baseball as well. So thank you for listening. I hope the weather is better where you are than where I am. But the most important thing is that the weather is in good shape in Houston at Reckling Park this weekend for the Texas and Rice series. I'm crossing my fingers for that. No weather delays, please. Let's get some not freezing cold weather so we can see some good baseball down there to open up the college baseball season. Thank you so much for listening. And until I talk to you all next time, take care.